Mexican Soccer Show on World Football Day.
It's that time again. A new season of the Mexican First Division is upon us. The heroics of Moises Muñoz and Club America, the wild celebrations that followed as Las Águilas lifted the 11th title, are all part of the past. And the new Liga Bancomer MX has come round again. It's with me today, I'm Tom Marshall. This is the Mexican Soccer Show. With me today, Naib Moran. How's it going up there, Naib?
Good Tom over here in Texas, looking at some Gold Cup games, but really excited for this start of the season. New players coming in from Europe or Argentina, Colombia. We have a lot of Colombians and Ecuadorians coming to Liga Bancomer MX.
Good stuff. And Johnny Rico in sunny San Diego.
Yeah, just can't wait to get the season started. I headed over to the Estadio Caliente twice this week already to check out the Cholos practice. So a lot of excitement in the air for the start of this new league.
Good stuff. So without any further ado, this is our A to Z of every team in the Liga MX this season. Hope you enjoy it. First up, what better place to start than with Club America, the reigning champion. I mean, let's kick it off. I mean, for me, the biggest factor with America, you know, they retain a really, really strong team. The biggest thing is Christian Benitez is no longer with the side. He's gone over to Qatar to play. How much of a loss is his goal scoring going to be? Can Narciso Mina and Raul Jimenez and the new signing Andretti come up with the goals to kind of compensate for the obvious hole that Benitez leaves?
I think, it's an important moment for America because, I mean, in the last years, if we think about it, I mean, they've had two excellent goal scorers, El Salvador Chavacabañas and now Cristian Benitez. You know, that's a big miss for America in the sense that the two players provided a lot of goals. Today they have a young player like Raul Jimenez who has had plenty of national team play in this summer. And should be able to take charge, and I guess with the America Tech, but also keeping an eye on Luis Gabriel Rey, and also on Narciso Mina, and see how they will respond to the duties that they will now have with America. Johnny,
definitely, Johnny. The other big question mark is at the back. I mean, Diego Rey is such a young player. He seems to be such a calming presence at centre-back for America. I mean, how big a factor is his loss, you know, in trying to retain the title this season?
You know, I think that's an even bigger loss than Christian because, you know, who's going to replace Diego Reyes? Unfortunately, the answer is going to be Juan Carlos Topo Valenzuela, which, you know, we have all seen this Gold Cup is, you know, it's a pretty scary sight in defense. Mexico has been very lucky to face weak oppositions that don't take advantage of his mistakes, but the Liga MX is going to be a whole different story, and I'm pretty scared, to be honest.
I mean, history tells us that, you know, it's so difficult to win consecutive championships and sometimes even to just put, you know, back-to-back good tournaments. Really quick prediction on America this season.
I think it will be a team that will finish top eight. I think it has the team. It has the continuation of a process with Piojo Herrera. And Piojo Herrera has a lot of control of this project. I mean, the signing of Andrés Andrade, El Rifle, is a great example of how much Herrera has, much power Herrera has in America and choosing the players that he wants for his team. He saw convenient getting a player that's more of a midfielder than a striker in the absence of Cristian Benitez. So let's see if his bet is correct.
Yeah, Johnny, quick prediction. Where they're finishing in the general table?
Yeah, I think they probably make the playoffs. I'm thinking a top four finish. I don't think top of the league is gonna matter. This is a Copa Libertadores qualification season, so I know they're going to be gunning for a top three spot, but I don't know if they'll make it. And I see them bowing out semifinals, especially with CONCACAF Champions League. They'll be wanting to win that as well. So you know, three things to gun for: the Libertadores, the league, and the Champions League. So I think, yeah, they're gonna fail at something. I don't know if they're gonna win something, but you know, strong season.
Cool, good stuff. I'm going for playoff places. I think they won't get in the top four. I think they'll maybe scrape into the playoff places. I just see Benitez's loss being just too much to recoup. He's just been such a massive player. Next up, Atlante over there in Cancun. I mean, they've got the prospect of relegation hanging over them going into these next two seasons. You know, I think they've done a bit of good business with Martin Galmarini from Tigre, who's actually, you know, he's a big favourite with the Tigre fans down there in Argentina. Walter Erviti from Boca Juniors, another decent signing. And in combination with Larribey,
yeah, Joaquin Larribey, and also Mauricio Romero, who used to be a defender in Monarcas Morelia, is now with Atlante, coached by Wilson Graniolati.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I think if those, the players they brought in are, you know, experienced, but I don't know, and are quite, you know, they're getting on. So I don't know how much, if that's going to be a good or a bad thing in a way. You know what I mean?
I don't see Atlante making a big splash. I mean, they let go their goal scorer, which was Esteban Paredes. You know, he was top goal scorer in last season. So I think that's going to be a big miss for Atlante.
Yeah, and Johnny Wilson Graniolati. I mean, he hasn't done much for quite a while now. I mean, you know, what do you see from this Atlante team? Where do you think it's going to finish? Do you think? I mean, for me, it's defense that's going to be the problem, like it has been recently in recent seasons for Atlante.
Yeah, and Graniolati said that he's one of the many students of Ricardo La Volpe, always looking to attack, which is going to cause the Atlante defense some problems because one, the defense has never been strong, and two, now you have a coach that doesn't put that much emphasis into defense. So I see Atlante struggling. They're going to complicate things for some teams. You know, with the way they'll attack, they might scratch out a 2-2 or 3-3 draw here and there. I see them around the 12th, 13th place, not dead bottom, but nowhere near the playoffs either.
I think they're going to be a bit nearer the bottom than that, me. I think they're going to be, you know, bottom three, four teams.
Yeah, I also see the team on the bottom here with the list that I just planned out with the 18 teams. So, I mean, it's Cancun is definitely a nice place to play soccer, but Atlante is not the type of team for that spectacular city. The next team that it's up is Atlas with Tom Marshall's Atlas. I mean, it's basically the same team. With a new coach, Turco Asad, coming from Argentina. I mean, I think the only miss probably in that team will be Isaac Conejito Brizuela. Tom, what do you think about your Atlas this season?
Honestly, I've got them going in the last third of the table. I think they're going to be in the bottom third. You know, we're seeing off the field problems now in terms of, you know, paying the players. I mean, there's a question mark whether they're actually going to start the season, and there's a question mark about the future of the club. I mean, said that, you know, look at the spine of the team: Miguel Pinto, Leandro Cufre, Facundo Urpen, Rodrigo Millar, and Buoso. You know, I think they're going to be, again, you know, difficult to defeat. Omar Asad, just unknown, you know what I mean? Just unknown. You don't know what you're going to get from him. You don't know if you're going to get a Duko Mohamed or someone who's just completely out of depth and just not at ease with the Mexican game. So I think Mexico are going to struggle. I think Atlas are going to struggle last third of the table.
Johnny, your thoughts about Atlas?
I think losing Tomas Boy is, you know, huge for Atlas. I think Tomas Boy really worked something, put the fire into them. They don't have that pressure of the relegation either anymore, so they're going to lack in that kind of intensity as well. So, you know, I see a dark season for Atlas, and I honestly see a dark kickoff to the season with a loss at the Estadio Caliente against Cholos.
Where do you see Atlas finishing?
I don't see Atlas doing the superb season that they had in the Clausura 2013 with Tomas Boy. I think personally, I don't know how they will fill in that gap that Isaac Conejito Brizuela left in the team. In a general sense, it could be that Edson Rivera could take charge and get that to get win that spot legitimately. I have Atlas sort of 11th to 12th place in Liga MX, Bancomer MX.
Oh, Chiapas FC.
Formerly San Luis.
Formerly San Luis. Yeah, just one of the teams that moved, pretty much the same Jaguares team in terms of, like, you know, playing in the same Tuxtla Gutierrez and stuff like that. I mean, Viatri from Boca, Sergio Bueno on the bench. I mean,
21 new players for Chiapas FC.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be difficult to mess the squad. I mean, I've got them in, I think they're going to finish last.
I got them second to last.
Ditto, I say last. I mean, whatever we expected of San Luis last season, that's what we can expect of this Chiapas season. And especially with Carlos Bueno as the coach, you know, anything he touches really turns into a pile of, you know, no curse words here in the show. Sorry, can't finish that sentence.
Yeah, I mean, he always seems to be in the relegation fight, doesn't he, Bueno? He always seems to find a club to try and... But, you know, there's such a lot of work to do. And I think with Chiapas, they don't have the money. I think that's the big thing. We're going to move on to, you know, some other new clubs further down. But I think the difference with Chiapas is that, you know, they don't have much money. Cruz Azul. What can we say about Cruz Azul? I mean, just so cruelly... had the title taken away from them. They're all ripped out, you know. I think Guillermo Vasquez.
Shout out to Jason Marquise.
Jason.
Yeah. Over there. Guillermo Vasquez, I think he's got I think it can work two ways. They could drop off or Vasquez could really use this to, like, you know, to fire up the squad. I think João Rojas, great signing from Morelia. I've always liked him as a player. And I think once again we can see Cruz Azul, one of the best squads in Mexico. Whether they can get past that, you know, psychological barrier that seems to have haunted them in recent years, I don't know. I mean, the other issue is Teofilo Gutierrez, who seems to be pining for a move to River Plate. I think he'll get it, and I think that will weaken him a little bit. But thoughts on Cruz Azul? Is it going to be the same old? Is there any need to even say any more about him?
I think in general, the matter that Cruz Azul showed, that the fact that it lost another championship, but they kept the coach. I mean, they kept Guillermo Vasquez Jr. They believe in a process. They're keeping it. They believe in him, and they trust him. I mean, he's also bringing in Javi Baez, Jeronimo Amione, who could be, in quote-unquote, the potential substitute of Teofilo Gutierrez if he decides to leave to River Plate. I mean, it's a team that's still stacked with talent. It's just that psychological barrier that they have to break.
Yeah, I've got him in top three. Johnny Naive, where do you see him finishing Cruz Azul?
I also have him in top four. A lot of talent. And I'll even say repeat Copa MX champion.
Interesting.
I have him top four as well.
Top four, so we're all agreeing with that with Cruz Azul. Whether they can make that next step and get that championship is... Well, we haven't got that much time, to be quite honest. Next up...
A psychologist can make a career out of it, and he wouldn't have enough time.
Guadalajara. Do you reckon big signing Aldo de Nigris, the biggest signing of recent years? Marco Fabian sweeping, bit of fresh air with his good performances in the Gold Cup. I was up there at Chivas today. I mean, just a lot. The atmosphere is better. It's a lot more positive. Dennis DeClos is speaking to all the journalists, joking around. It's very, the whole atmosphere of the club seems a lot more relaxed. You know, they were plagued with injuries last season and a bit of bad luck. I've got playoff places. I think the 12th title's beyond them. but I've got them fighting in that playoffs. I think they're going to get it together, Chivas.
I agree with you, Tom. I also have Chivas in Liguilla. I think this time, I mean, Benjamin Galindo has more time with the team. I mean, he's not coming up in the last minute. There's talent there. I mean, Giovanni Hernandez and Fierro are two names that I'm looking forward to and seeing more of them. The Marco Fabian level that he's showing in Gold Cup with his goal-scoring ability, I mean, that's something to consider. And Aldo de Nigris, we will see. I mean, Aldo de Nigris has this injury that he caught with the national team, and we will see how he shows up when he's able to play. Johnny, your thoughts about Chivas?
You know, some people might say I'm just being biased, but I think Chivas are going to just miss the playoffs again. Aldo de Nigris is injured, won't start the season, but then again, he's going to have extra days to recuperate since Chivas won't be playing the first few games due to Gold Cup players. But, you know, that injury was pretty serious, so it's definitely going to affect them on the field. Rafa Marquez Lugo is not having a great tournament right now. He's not going through his best moments. And Marco Fabian, well, we've seen him in brilliant form before, but has he ever, you know, been consistent with it? Has he even ever showed it at Chivas? You know, the best Marco Fabian we saw was at the Olympics last season, and now he's kind of recuperating a little with the national team, but has he ever put in that kind of talent with Chivas? I've never seen it. I don't think he'll produce it for the entire season, you know, so it might be good enough to get Chivas close to the playoffs, but I see them missing it.
I think the point about the consistency, Tom, I don't know if you agree with me, but the fact that the World Cup is just months away now, I think that should ignite some fire in Marco Fabian and actually play at a consistent basis.
Yeah, also the tone. I think his tone's changed. I think he's realized. I think he's matured over the last few months, you know, especially with that last injury. I really do. I really think this time I completely agree and I know what Johnny's saying, but I do think I think he has matured and I think we're going to see a really good showing from him, as long as he can keep injury free. Leon. Right, I'm just going to go for this. I think they're going to be the most exciting team to watch in the league, like they were this time last year. I really do. Bosse, I think potentially the best signing in Mexico with his history. Arizala as well, the Colombian pace and strength. Elias Hernandez, you know, coming from Tigres, linked with, you know, Loboa, Urbano, Luis Montes, Carlos Peña. I think it's a very exciting team.
It is an exciting team. And also, Tom, if you add the fact that Nery Castillo left, and I think there was some type of dilemma there between Gustavo Matosas and Nery Castillo.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, thoughts on Leon, it's a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde. I mean, we saw him come into the first division and just blow everyone away. You know, just all the neutrals were backing him. And then last season, just awful. I think they finished 15th.
Yeah, I mean, they only got three wins in the last season.
What do we think? Are they going to be back up in the playoff places or down?
I want to hear what Johnny thinks.
Yeah, I don't see Leon in the playoffs either. You know, they are going to make life miserable for some teams because they are a strong attack team. But, you know, that first season was, you know, they kind of took the league by storm. Nobody was really expecting it, but this last season kind of they leveled out, and now everybody kind of knows where they're at, and they won't surprise anybody.
I have León in the Liguilla, and I think one of the things that I'm looking forward to is that midfield with Elias Hernandez, Luis Montes, and Gullit Peña. Well, Luis Montes, right now it's not big because, I mean, the opponents have been pretty low. But what Luis Montes has shown in the Mexican national team is a good sign for Gustavo Matosas' team.
Yeah, I've got him in the playoffs for me. I think they're going to have a really good season. Next up, Monterrey. You know, another team that I just think, I don't know, there's a few changes which we're not really that accustomed to in Monterrey, but I really think they've bought really well, and top three. Thoughts? I mean, you know, De Nigris leaving, Barbon's in, Lucas Silva in, Walter Ayovi's out, Efrain Juarez is in. I mean, Jesus Corona saga rumbling on. What do we think of Monterrey's chances?
I have Monterrey top three finish also. I've said it on Twitter several times, but I think Dorlan Pavón is going to, you know, be probably one of the most exciting players of this Liga Bancomer MX. You know, and pairing up with Suazo, it's going to be dynamic, and then Chelito Delgado and Eric Cardoso, and even sometimes Omar Arellano, even though, you know, Omar Arellano is that fine player that always sort of breaks every now and then, but he plays talented. I see a lot of chemistry in that Monterrey team, and we will see with Efrain Juarez. I mean, in America, as Johnny knows, he didn't do much. He celebrated the titles, but he didn't play. and he has a chance to re-vindicate his career.
Yeah, and Naive says Efrain Juarez didn't do much. I say he didn't do anything. You know, slight difference. But I have Monterrey in the playoffs. I don't know about top three. Foreigners usually take some time to get used to Mexico, and I don't. Well, Dorlan Pavón is a quality player, you know. You still have to give him that adjustment period, which is usually about a season. He's going to be a very scary player come next season.
Yeah. I think Lucas Silva as well, someone I've followed from Puebla, to Toluca, now at Monterrey, and I think he's going to play well enough in Monterrey, you know, to so people are really calling for him to be called up to the national team. That's just a little prediction.
Yeah, I think Lucas Silva with Toluca, he played pretty good with Wilson Thiago. I mean, I remember he scored some goals against America in La Liguilla. So, I mean, we're talking about a player that knows the big moments, that knows how to read the game well in the midfield, and definitely will be the talk of a town, considering that now he's Mexican. Another team, Morelia.
I just think quickly on Lucas Silva. I don't think there's any. He's the skill set that he has. I don't think any other Mexican player has.
I mean, right now in Liga with Morelia, but Jonathan Dos Santos can play how Lucas Silva plays, but Jonathan Dos Santos doesn't have the minutes that Lucas Silva has had in the past years. Morelia with Carlos Bustos. It's Jefferson Montero's there, no more Joao Rojas. They still have Aldo Leao Ramirez. What do you think about this Morelia team? Will it be a Morelia team in La Liguilla or no, Tom?
I've got a mid-table missing out on the playoffs. I mean, I think Joao Rojas is a big loss. I think they might lose Jefferson Montero before the season starts as well. I mean, there's, you know, European clubs sniffing around there. I think Edgar Andrade, Treyes, and Govia, shrewd signings, you know what I mean? But I just can't see Morelia, you know, making that jump from being the perennial challengers to a real threat. And I think this time they are going to miss out, especially if Montero leaves.
Yeah, the big signing for Morelia is Juan José Govia, another Ecuadorian. Johnny, your thoughts about Morelia?
Also missing the playoffs. You know, over the last year, they've lost way too many players. You know, which made them dangerous. They've lost Sabá, they've lost Marcos Lugo, they've lost João Rojas, and they're about to lose Jefferson Montero. So, you know, they've lost too much to make the playoffs in my eyes.
Yeah, I also have them out of the playoffs. Yeah.
It's a good point that Johnny makes, though. It's like, you know, they have to keep, if they're going to move forward and really make it in that top, you know, that elite of teams that I think we've seen over the last few years in Mexico, they have to keep hold of these players. You know, there's no two ways about it. And I think they're going to suffer again because of that. Who's next up? Pachuca.
Pachuca.
Pachuca. I mean, I think there's a lot of pressure on Pachuca. I think there's pressure on Caballero, the coach. You know, they failed last season, basically. It's a team that should be getting in the playoffs. They've splashed out a lot of money on bringing in Duvier Riascos from Tijuana. You know, he really lit up the place over there on the border. You know, Guti Estrada, Oscar Perez, Walter Ovi, Efrain Cortez, all good players. You know, they've lost Hector Herrera. I don't know. I think there's a lot of pressure on him. I think the start is absolutely vital for Pachuca. But you know what? I don't see him. I don't see him rising beyond a playoff challenge. But I think they'll miss out and finish mid-table.
Oof. Actually, I have Pachuca and Liguilla, and I mean the reasons that I put them in. I mean, I think Ludueña still has some gas in the tank. In other words, the Riasco signing was big with Cabenagui. I mean, they have young potential also with Marco Bueno. Julio Gomez is probably going to get some minutes there. Even Jürgen Damm, that famous player from Estudiantes, is a Pachuca player now. So, yeah. You know, there's a lot of... It's a big bunch of players. The defense gets solidified by Guti Estrada and Walter Ayoví, which was something that was weak with Pachuca last season, and this season they sort of... fix that problem. So I do see Pachuca and Liguilla. Johnny?
Yeah, same here. I have them in eighth place, scratching into Liguilla, maybe even on goal difference. But Riascos, you know, he's been playing great. He's going to really help this team out. You know, they just missed last season playoffs, and I think Riascos is going to be that difference to get them over the edge this time. I don't see them going past the quarterfinals, though, but, you know, it's going to be an improvement over last season.
So that's with Pachuca, and now we're moving on to Puebla with Manuel Apuente and DeMarcus Beasley and Orozco Fiscal and all of them, and the whole dilemma right now, there's an uncertainty of what's going on with the team. There's the consistent mess around with the owners and who's the right owner and who's the wrong owner, preventing the team from escalating steps up. I don't have Puebla in La Liguilla, of course. I have them sort of low table. There are some good players, but it just doesn't look like it's fixing. Tom, your thoughts about Puebla?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be same old Puebla that we've seen, you know, since Jalice left, really. You know, just a team that's struggling, that, you know, maybe can put a few, you know, a decent run together for a few games, but just can't keep it up consistently. On the other hand, you know, La Puente, his teams are not going to give any easily physical, you know, they're going to be difficult to beat, but I just don't think they've got enough to go above mid-table, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're in the, you know, the bottom five.
No, of course, Johnny, the signing, one of the star signings from Puebla is Alfredo El Chango Moreno from Cholos.
Yeah, no, I believe, you know, coaches get to a certain age and they need to retire because the game has evolved way so much, you know, over their heads. Like Manolo Ponte is one of them, I think. You know, he made Puebla champions before I was even born.
Was it 82 or something?
Yeah.
Puebla were champion.
Yeah, something like that. And I mean, I think the game has evolved way too much for La Puente to really get a handle on it. And I see them bottom too.
I see Puebla on the bottom as well. The Pumas situation, I mean, Pumas bringing in this Argentinian Ariel Nahuel Pan, but the defense stays the same. I mean, you still see the Picolines there standing strong. You see Verón there. I mean, they got Candido Ramirez from Santos, but they let go of Eduardo Herrera, who was one of their best forwards last season. Is Pumas in La Liga for Utah?
It's really difficult one with Pumas. You know, I don't think they will. I think a lot depends, you know, on that new striker. I mean, I think he, you know, Pumas have really missed over the last few years, like, you know, a real out and out goal scorer who can go and get, like, you know, 8, 9, 10 goals on a consistent level. And you know, if he can do that, then I think they can, you know, make a playoff push. But I think, you know, my gut instinct is that Pumas is going to be a bit of a no-show. And, you know, I think there's going to be some disappointed fans over there at UNAM.
Yeah, I mean, and the names are there. I mean, they got a lot of forwards. They got Robin Ramirez, they got Martin Bravo, they got Luis Garcia, a former Liverpool player, you know, Barcelona also. I mean, the talent is there. It's just that they just can't find their Bruno Marioni. Johnny, what's your thoughts about Pumas?
Playoff team, I think. The coach, Antonio Servín. So he had one season, you know, and showed much improvement over what Mario Carrillo had done. And I think he's going to, you know, continue improving and this time around get them into the playoffs. He's had 6 months to look at the team, look what he needs, and go out and get which was a striker. They were lacking goals last season. And last season they made the playoffs. So I think they're going to continue growing, maybe a semifinal exit. But, you know, an improvement over last season. I have them in the top eight, not the top four, but I have them in sixth place, actually.
So Pumas in La Liga, that's what Johnny is saying right now, and we should keep an eye on that. Of course, also Cortes is on the team, and we'll see how he plays this season. Other teams that are up, Tom?
Querétaro.
I mean,
I don't know. I'm kind of against Curitiba to start with because they got relegated and bought another team. You know what I mean? Kind of like feels like cheating.
It does feel like cheating.
You know, but Nacho Ambriz, I think, is a good coach. A lot of new faces to gel. But, you know, I think the difference with what we're seeing with Chiapas is that, you know, Esteban Paredes is in. You know, just scored goals for fun at Atlante, and I think he's going to be a massive player for them. And also, Luis Perez in midfield. I mean, he didn't really shine for Chivas last year, but, you know, I think he's going to... he's a really solid Liga MX player, obviously the old captain of Monterrey. So I think he's going to bring a lot to them, and, you know, I think they're going to do okay, you know, lower mid-table. I think defence, again, might be a bit of a weakness.
Yeah, I think I see the same. I don't have Querétaro going to La Liguilla this season, even though they made La Liguilla last season, but because they got relegated, you know, they didn't play it. And I mean, the Esteban Paredes signing is an interesting one. They still got the Colombian players that they brought from Millonarios, so there's some potential there. But I don't see much going on in Querétaro again. Johnny?
I have them as the story of the season. Atlas was the story last season. I say could it be it? Yeah, there's always one, and that's who I'm choosing for it this season. I have them in the playoffs. They made the playoffs last season. They were eighth place finishers, and this season they basically got to choose the best from that squad and the best from the Jaguares, the Chiapas squad. They kind of combined the two squads and got the best from both squads, and that's going to be the team that's going to be playing this Liga MX. So I see them once again making the playoffs, and this time actually participating.
it's a bold prediction there, but I like it. Naib, have you given your prediction on Querétaro? You just gave it, didn't you?
I said that they're going to be, you know, amongst the last five, I'd say.
Yeah. Oh, last five. That'll okay. Santos Laguna. You know, the way I see it, they've lost Hercules Gomez and Aaron Galindo, who are, you know, in the starting lineup most weeks over the last season. But I think that, you know, Javier Orozco and Nestor Arauco, I think the arrival of both of them are going to compensate pretty nicely. I think Caixinha's, you know, he's got some experience now in Mexican football. You know, Santos semi-finalist last season, don't forget. And that was with playing in two tournaments as well. I think they're going to be there or thereabouts again. I think they've got quality absolutely oozing through, you know, every line of the team, from goalkeeper to the, you know, defence midfield, striking department. And I think that, you know, they're going to be right up there, top three or four.
I got Santos and Liguilla, but what I'm interested with, I'm really interested with what Caixinha has been doing. I mean, we're talking about this Portuguese coach comes to Mexico, and he sees the Liga Bancomer MX, he sees the players. I mean, his moves are interesting. He gets Mexican forwards. He gets Javier Orozco, Eduardo Herrera, and he sells Hercules Gomez to Cholos. I mean, it looks like he's observing the players pretty closely. I mean, there's some names from the Santos U-20s, like Benji Joya and Daniel Cuevas, who play for the U-20 of the U.S. men's national team, might have some minutes. Jose Abella, who was in the U-20 Mexican team, might get more minutes now that Guti Estrada got sold to Pachuca. So, I mean, a lot of youth in that team with Caixinha, and also another young Colombian forward like Renteria, who got his minutes in Liguilla, got goals against Atlas. So, I mean, we're talking about an exciting young team coached by Caixinha, who we thought wasn't going to make it in Mexico when he first came. Johnny.
You know, that attack is, you know, still, I think it brings up a lot of question marks, and which is weird saying this about Santos. You know, Santos were known for having such a heavy attack and kind of going into shootout games, see who can score the most. And last season, Caixinha really focused on the defense. And what was weird during the transfer market, it seemed like every attack player on Santos was up for grabs except for Oribe Peralta. They seemed like a swap meet at the draft. They, you know, they lost Gomez, they lost Candido Ramirez. So I have a lot of question marks. I think they might find their way into the playoffs, as well as just missing them. They're that border team that, you know, you just never know.
Good stuff. Next up, Tigres.
Good old Tuca Ferretti.
Good old Tuca Ferretti. I mean, don't know. Shout some thoughts about Tigres.
I have Tigres in second place and completely wasting another Copa Libertadores spot.
Oh, man. I mean, the signing of Pizarro is interesting. They still have the opportunity to bring another foreign player. The name is unknown. Several newspapers in Mexico were saying that it was going to be Roberto Mora from River Plate of Uruguay, but that's not confirmed. I mean, it's just a rumor rounding there. You know, the team is there. It's basically the same team from last season. Not much will change. It's basically the same system, the same strategy. You know, Tuca being Tuca, and we will see if we can win the championship, but it's if they couldn't win it last season, I don't see them winning it this season, but they will be in Liguilla.
Yeah. I mean, I think Tigres are, again, one of the best teams in the league. I really do, like, player for player. I think a lot of people have gone off Tigres because of the attitude that Tuca Ferretti has shown towards international competition, you know, the CONCACAF Champions League, and before that, the Copa Libertadores. Obviously, you know, for those who followed him at Pumas and stuff like that, it's not no surprise that, you know, he's taken that attitude. But, you know, I think just in general in Mexico, there seems to be a big downer about Tigres at the minute. But at the end of the day, you know, Damian Alvarez, Danielinho, Lucas Lobos and Tito Villa up front, I mean,
doesn't get better than
strong.
That.
No, it's strong.
Villa's my candidate for goal scorer of the season. He was really close to it last season, but he, you know, he missed several games, and in spite of missing several games, he was still very close.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good shout. I think Tigre is very strong, and, you know, obviously, top three. I can't see any other. I think they're generally good as well during the regular season, so, you know, I'm got them top three or four. I think I might say top three or four for more than three or four, though. Problematic.
It can work in Liga MX. Anything can work.
Anything goes through Decio and Compián. The next team is Toluca. Toluca.
Tijuana.
Oh, Tijuana. No, we'll go with Tijuana first.
Yeah. Johnny, tell us about Tijuana. What's the big difference between last season?
Well, there's no more Antonio Mohamed in the bench. There's no more Dubier Riascos in the starting lineup.
No more Chango.
There's no more no more Chango Moreno in starting lineup. Basically, they have the same defensive unit. The four of starting defenders are still there. The starting Cirilo is there, who made the national team. Pellerano was a big keep for Tijuana. He's really solid. So the way they attack, we're not going to see the big counterattacks as like we did last season with the Villarreal. They signed Dario Benedetto from Arsenal, the Sarandí in Argentina. He's going to be one of those players to look out for. We'll see how long it takes for him to adapt to Mexico and to that synthetic grass at the Estadio Caliente. They also have Hercules Gomez, who I think is going to have a really good season. He's a quality player. He's with the national team, but he grew up in Southern California, and he feels at home in Tijuana, being so close to San Diego. So I expect big season from him. And also from Fidel Martinez, he kind of lived in Riesco's shadow last season. And I feel that this is his time to kind of step out of that shadow.
Cool. Good stuff, Johnny. Johnny obviously covered that well. I think Riascos is going to be a big miss. I really do. I think he's just so explosive and he can make the difference, and he did make the difference in so many games. Not just in terms of maybe scoring the goal, but just keeping the opposition occupied. But I think Tijuana are going to be up there. I think they'll make the playoffs without being spectacular.
I really like the project that Cholos is doing, the whole how they get their players. And, I mean, I'm pretty sure there's youngsters in that Cholos youth teams that will get a chance this season to see with Negro Almirón, who knows the league pretty well. But I just have them missing them out. I mean, I have them in ninth place. I don't know if Benedetto has that explosiveness that Riascos had with the goal scoring and being that man in the crucial moments of the match. And also, Chango Moreno, he wasn't explosive. But he was that perfect man to just connect the offense, Tijuana's offense. And I don't know who that player is going to be now that Moreno's gone.
Stuff. Next up is Toluca. Somebody tell us about Toluca.
Toluca, I mean, we can call him like a little Paraguay, I think, with Saturnino Cardoso, Paulo da Silva, Pablo Velázquez, Edgar Benítez, and Richard Ortiz. I mean, there's four Paraguayans on the Toluca team. They still have Juan Carlos Cacho and Esquivel on attack. Conejito Brizuela is back from the loan. They got Wilson Thiago on midfield. I don't know what to expect from the Paraguayan Legion. I don't know if that could work on Toluca's side, but I just have them short from Liguilla. I mean, I have them in 10th place, Toluca.
Yeah, unfortunately,
yeah, that's... Well, right. I think, yeah, same. I'll agree. I mean, I think they could be in the playoffs quite easily. I mean, we've seen them before, not last season, the one before. Played really good stuff and get to that final. So I think they've got the quality. I think they're better teams. But if they put a run together, they can definitely do it. And Cardoso as manager is going to be fascinating. I'm going to be really intrigued to see how he does, back at the club where he really made his name and scored.
And also, I think, if I'm not mistaken...
shed loads of goals.
If I'm not mistaken, this will be Signa's last season in Liga Bancomer MX, so it's a big one for him.
Yeah, we all want to be winning. And Brizuela, I mean, we've talked about him with Atlas, but, he made the difference in games for Atlas last season. And, he's going to be starting. Cardoso wouldn't let him stay at Atlas, even though the player wanted to. The player's from Jalisco. I think they could do something, but I've just got them missing out just about.
I have them missing out. That unfortunately for Cardoso, that saying with great players don't make great managers is unfortunately true in his case.
Yeah. I don't know. I like his personality. I mean, I think he's got a big personality. We'll see, though. I mean, it's a question mark. I think that's good. you know, what makes Toluca interesting this season, because we don't know, you know what I mean? And I think it's going to be interesting to watch him for a change. Because sometimes it's just really... I wish they'd stop playing at 12 o'clock, though. You know, it's really annoying. Because
the altitude and the everything.
Games usually... So same with Pumas. Yeah, Pumas and Toluca, it's like they play, you know, it is 12, isn't it, Toluca?
Yeah, it's 12, yeah.
You know, it's just like you just... It's so rare you get a good game because it's so hot and the altitude and I don't know. Anyways, last team, Veracruz, the comeback, Tiburones Rojos, taking the place of La Piedad. Got to feel sorry for the people in that little Michoacán town who are celebrating winning the Ascenso MX title and then just days later stripped from them and now they don't even have a professional football team. But, you know, the beneficiaries of that are Veracruz, who, you know, have got the first division of football in the port town for the first time in a good few years. Spent big to land Angel Reyna, who claimed he had 13 offers from Mexico and abroad. We've got Panamanian international Luis Tejada, who's, you know, he was inconsistent, but on his day, a few better than him in this league. Yeah. Juan Antonio Luna, I think there's some question marks about him. But I think definitely out of them in Chiapas, Veracruz are a better place to do something. However, I think they're going to struggle. I think it's going to take time. Not convinced about the manager. And I'm going for a bottom third finish.
Yeah, I mean, Veracruz also has Jagger Martinez, Cabezon Luna, you know, has a lot of fans in America, admiration from the America fans, so he will always have a home there. So it kind of stinks to see him in a team that's not as strong and solid as this Veracruz team. They're still missing out on two foreign players. I don't know if they might get last-minute signings, but that could change the route of the team. I mean, but right now when you see the squad list, of Veracruz is not looking nice. I mean, it's bottom third. Johnny?
Yeah, Cabezon Luna will always be special to Americanistas because of that performance he put on at the Maracana. He's the one responsible for the Maracanazo. And you know, he has some of those players. Angel Reyna and Israel Shaggy Martinez are, you know, they're the closest thing to brothers without being blood related. Those two guys, and when they play together, you know, some magic could happen. I don't see them, you know, going anywhere. It's not even the playoffs, but I don't think they're gonna be as bad as a bottom three finish.
Interesting story that Johnny brings about Jagger Martinez and Reyna.
Yeah, they both came up the America youth system. They both were sent to San Luis, mm-hmm. and they both kind of came back home to America. They were separated by the America directors because they felt that they were having a little too much fun. So they sent Martinez away and kept Reyna at the club.
Now they're back. Yeah, and Veracruz isn't the worst place to have fun either. You know what I mean? So we'll see how that. You never know. That because these teams do sometimes go out and like the party a lot, do well. I mean, Tijuana, I think the team spirit up there was absolutely amazing, and I'm pretty sure they partied really hard as well, and they probably still do. But you know, there's time to work, time to play, and I think they got balance. But we'll see how it goes with Veracruz. All right, to wrap up the A to Z, we've gone through the 18 teams. Let's just wrap up quickly. Champion, who's it going to be?
Well, let's go around saying our top eight now.
Top eight?
Yeah.
Okay, my top eight, I got Monterrey, Tigres, Cruz Azul, América, León, Santos, Chivas, Pachuca.
What about you, Johnny?
I got league leaders Cruz Azul, second place Tigres, last and third and final Copa Libertadores spot to America. I got Tijuana in fourth place, Monterrey fifth, Pumas in sixth, Santos in seventh, and my bombshell of the tournament, Querétaro in eighth.
Oh. Interesting stuff. I ain't got an order, mate. But I'm going to work through one quickly. I'm going to go Santos in the top, Monterrey, Tigres, Cruz Azul, León, America, and then I'm going to go with Tijuana and Chivas. So I'll say that again. Santos, Monterrey, Tigres, Cruz Azul, León, America, Tijuana, Chivas. My top eight. That'll do. And champion? And
for champion? I don't want to say Cruz Azul, but I this is going to be a bombshell of a season, I guess. I'm going with Cruz Azul.
Oh. I'll give my pick. I'm saying Monterrey with Bucetich.
Ah, yeah, it's so difficult. I don't know. I think I have to say Monterrey as well. I just think on paper they've got all the arguments, but you know, it is the Mexican league, and we all know it's the playoff, so anything can happen. I like Monterrey, I like Santos as well. Tigres, León, Cruz Azul, there's a lot of good teams. I think it's going to be out of those five, mate. I think America's going to suffer, to be honest. But we'll see. Good stuff.
Yeah, I think America could really make a run at the CONCACAF Champions League. I think that's within their reach. I don't think Liga MX, a repeat Liga MX is within their reach, though.
Yeah. Well, we'll start to find out this Friday. Who's first up? Querétaro, Morelia.
Mm-hmm. Followed by Atlas, Tijuana on Friday.
If Atlas turn up, if they can pull the funds together. Funny message. Yeah, I mean, what are you in the... Go on.
Well, I'm going to be waiting at the Estadio Caliente, so hopefully they show up so there could be a match there.
Send him a tweet, Johnny. Please show up. I'm gonna be there. Thanks everyone for joining us at the Mexican Soccer Show, A to Z of the Liga MX teams. Don't forget, follow us on the old Twitter at Mex Soccer Show, and on Facebook.com the Mexican Soccer Show. And yes, see you next time, and enjoy.